Welcome. You're listening to the Grow Ortho Podcast, presented by HIP. This podcast is dedicated to orthodontists who want to stand strong in their market and be leaders in their community. Now, on to today's show. Hey, it's Luke at HIP, and if you've been listening to the Grow Ortho Podcast maybe for weeks, months, or in some cases years, you know that we typically interview an industry expert, whether it be someone working in the office or a consultant, or just a strategic partner for orthodontists. Well, we're going to change things up just a bit. And this year we've actually released 4 books. And so we're going to release every audiobook, basically a chapter for each episode. Listen, enjoy, and let us know what you find valuable and implement and what works well in your office. Thanks so much for supporting HIP. And we hope you enjoy all these episodes on the Practice Growth Series.
Chapter 5. Managing Your Shiny Object Syndrome. All that glitters is not gold. William Shakespeare. Dr. Smith has been on a roll for a while now. He had a fantastic year, doubling his production over the previous year. He and his team have been diligent about training and implementing systems to improve the patient experience and maximize the capacity of the office he had opened 3 years ago. All this growth has been exciting, and he has enjoyed the rush from each of the steps he's taken to get here. I was really impressed by his vision and hunger to do what it took to build his practice. HIP has been honored to be a part of his growth, witnessing the evolution of himself, his team, and his practice. Some other exciting developments for Dr. Smith in the last year included opening a satellite office and hiring his Chief Operations Officer, COO, Margo. When Dr. Smith first discussed these steps with me, I told him that I thought it was a bit early and that while he could afford to do these things, he'd be taking a big hit to his bottom line. With his production sitting around $2.8 million and his main office being, in my opinion, at about 60% capacity, he could probably have benefited from doubling down where he was at until his office reached 80 to 90% capacity. I did think that hiring a COO was next up in his game plan, but I advised him to do it when his office was comfortably over $3 million in production. Dr. Smith, however, encountered 2 opportunities that he simply could not pass up. First, a location came available in a nearby community that I have to agree was pretty much ideal for opening an orthodontic practice. Dr. Smith moved on it. Second, Margo, the COO from a large multi-location practice in New York, had moved to his town and was looking for work. Needless to say, he seized that opportunity as well. Margo was a smart lady and a real asset. She immediately got to work, earning her significant salary by focusing on the most important factors for practice growth. After all, she had seen her last orthodontist through opening 4 satellite locations and growing to over $14 million in production. She wasted no time tightening up systems and training the team to up the level of customer service. Her number one priority was to maximize the profitability of Dr. Smith's 2 locations. Before the Christmas holidays, I was chatting with Margaret at a conference, and she told me that Dr. Smith had come into her office giddy with excitement. He had scheduled a meeting with her to discuss a new opportunity that had fallen into his lap. Here's our conversation. Margo, do you have a couple of minutes? Me. Sure, Margo, what's up? Margo, Dr. Smith's shiny object syndrome is raging again. Me. Oh, no. What is it this time? Margo, it seems he's been having conversations with Dr. Schilling, this guy with an office across town. His practice hasn't been in good shape for a while, his staff keeps leaving, and he's tired of running the business and wants to sell. Dr. Smith thinks he can get it at a pretty low price and is considering doing it. Me. Jeez, what did you say? Margo. I told him no way. Absolutely not. We need to focus all our resources on getting our main practice and satellite up to capacity. Taking this on will be too much of a strain on our finances and team. And? Margo. He told me we'll see. I'm afraid he's going to come in one morning and tell me that it's a go, and that I need to go over there and start training the staff. Me. Why do orthodontists always want to do things like this? Margo. I know, right? It makes absolutely no business sense. Me. Let me see if I can talk some sense into him. Dr. Smith did eventually see the light and realized that by listening to Margot and me and keeping on track with his target he set for the year, that he'd have a much better cash flow and more time to invest into his personal life, which he had set as a priority. Over the past 3 years, most of his time was spent either at the office or thinking about work. His wife had been complaining that he was never around for the family. With a toddler running around and another child on the way, Dr. Smith realized that if he did not make time for his family, he was going to miss some of the most precious years of his children's lives. His wife had also been a solid source of support for him during the most stressful times of his life, and she deserved some support in return. While Dr. Smith is the fictional example that we've been using through this series, his experiences are an accurate reflection of many of the real-life examples I come across. Here, he is demonstrating shiny object syndrome, a condition that runs rampant among orthodontists. Shiny object syndrome occurs when we become easily distracted by new, sparkly things, often to the point where we lose focus on our current goals. What we already have might be great or full of the potential, but our attention deviates, looking for something that we think will fulfill our immediate wants and needs. We love the feeling. We love new. We love being distracted so we don't have to face reality and put our heads down to do the work. Then, after the dopamine hit of the acquisition has worn off, the desire for novelty sets us back on the prowl for the next shiny object. When I look at an orthodontic practice, I see a business that has the potential to be optimized to serve a lot of people and become highly profitable. But I'm a businessman, and I'm always thinking about the numbers and what makes sense. Most orthodontists, on the other hand, see their practice as a source of money for spending, and in a lot of cases, it is not generating enough money for everything they want. This makes them easy prey for anyone who even suggests that they have a means of getting them more new patients. In my experience, orthodontists will buy just about anything that promises to increase production, but these supposed practice builders usually end up being shiny objects. They cost money every month without adding anything to production, sometimes creating a massive hit to profitability. When I co-founded HIP, I knew I was responsible to myself and my clients to ensure it wasn't just another shiny object that would fall short of its objective to help orthodontists become better business owners. I wanted our clients to believe in our message and witness our tried and true processes in the making. I needed our company to live up to its promise. So I learned the best ways to provide quality products and services to my clients, what to do, what not to do, and how to do it consistently and transparently. There are no shortcuts in life, and no magic potion will instantly fix your problems. Real results take time. Now, let me be clear. Not all of the lead generating and nurturing tools out there are shams. Some tools are very useful, time-saving, and profitable when implemented properly. But if you buy them because of the hype and then never use them, they are still shiny objects. However, there are some products out there that exist only to capitalize on an orthodontist's desire and, in my opinion, cannot possibly work in a well-run orthodontic practice. Below, you will find products and services that you should avoid, a description of some that are useful when a team leverages them, and a summary of the four software systems that you need. Most practices I see are paying for double the systems needed to run a practice effectively. Artificial intelligence AI software. Artificial intelligence AI software can be beneficial for businesses because it can be used to automate repetitive and time-consuming tasks, allowing businesses to streamline their processes and workflows and increase overall efficiency. AI software can be a great tool to aid many businesses in the right direction, but only to a certain extent. Technology can only do so much. Human connection can never be replaced, and exceptional customer service is essential for the culture and brand of most businesses. I know a few marketing agencies who use AI software to generate leads for orthodontists, just as we do at HIP with our software, Practice Beacon. However, this one software that you should be aware of claims to go beyond that. It's marketed as software that can do everything for you. Generate your leads, nurture them, educate them, and even schedule them for consultations. Your front desk coordinator doesn't have to get involved at all. prospective patients are supposed to show up to your practice to start treatment without your team having to do any of the work. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, right? It could be a quick solution for practices that don't care about the patient experience. But do you think that a bot can generate enough trust in the prospective patient to get them to show up? You most likely care a lot about your patient experience and want to ensure your team is doing everything possible to make good impressions on your prospective patients. So much goes into that initial phone call between your front desk coordinator and prospective patient, and the many nuances occur along the way. That's why I dedicated a whole book from this series to it. There is no way that an AI software can handle all the questions and objections and put to rest any fears that prospective patients have. If the leads contacting your office cannot get their questions answered quickly, they will call someone else who can, which is a huge blow since you spent marketing dollars to get that lead in the first place. I know many orthodontists who have left marketing agencies that offer these types of services after months of paying for them with zero results. It's an expensive way to learn that the promise is unrealistic and unattainable. While AI can be a useful tool in many situations, it is essential to recognize its limitations and use it in a way that facilitates leads for your team to nurture themselves. Virtual scheduling and treatment coordinators. Another agency provides lead follow-up and treatment coordinators to work with orthodontic practices virtually. They claim to be able to provide all the benefits of highly trained team members who are well-versed in your office procedures without the cost and effort of hiring and training them. The process is seemingly quite simple. The prospective patient calls your office and encounters a call tree that directs them to get through to their rep, who is supposed to help convert your valuable lead into a start. These virtual coordinators answer calls all day for 25 to 50 different practices. They are supposed to support your lead through the difficult decision of making a $5,000 purchase, a very emotional decision. This requires a great degree of empathy and support. Imagine how a patient would feel when someone on the other end of the line can't answer specific questions about your practice or processes. I have a few clients who have used this service in the past, and what's interesting to note is that these virtual coordinators continuously fail our secret shop reports. Why? Because if you recall the speed to lead process, your scheduling coordinator should call prospective patients within the first 5 minutes after they make contact and follow up several times within the next 48 hours if there is no reply. Their scheduling coordinators call only once, and it never ends up being within the first 5 minutes, causing many prospective patients to fall through the cracks. It's a shame to spend all that money on marketing and lead generation to get that person to call your office only to have another service you're paying for turn them away. If you have a virtual team working with 25 to 50 practices, do you think they have the time to call your prospective patients back with the same urgency as one who works solely for your practice? Definitely not. Every orthodontist I know who signed up for this service has abandoned it. Virtual consultation software. This isn't a buyer beware type of software, as virtual consultation software is valuable and beneficial for orthodontists. I encourage many clients to consider it if they intend to use it properly, but often orthodontists purchase this software, add it to their website as a widget, and expect it to be an instant production source. I've had orthodontists tell me they want to remove their virtual consult widget from their website because it only brings in bad leads that are not interested in moving forward with treatment. I'm always quite doubtful when I hear this, and here's why. Virtual consultation software does not bring in leads. It's not running ads and trying to target people who could potentially be interested in orthodontic treatment. It's software on your website that people click on themselves. They've put in the work by finding you, requesting a consultation, taking photos of their teeth from different angles, and submitting them for review because they're more than interested in starting the process. The problem is these orthodontists are not holding their team accountable to respond to these inquiries fast enough. So, if it's taking the TC 3 days to respond to a virtual consultation submission, it's no wonder the lead went cold. They've gone to someone else who did respond and promptly booked them for an in-person consultation. If you aren't going to implement the software correctly, you can't blame it for the leads that come in. Can you make any of these shiny objects a useful thing? It can be tempting to purchase shiny objects like the examples above when you think it will drastically improve how you conduct your business. So when you find out they're not as useful as you thought they would be, watching your money go down the drain can be painful. However, there is a way to make the shiny object you've purchased useful. Like the virtual consultation software, it can serve you quite well if you learn how to use it correctly and teach your team to do the same. Like everything we've presented in this orthodontic practice growth series, you have to implement the shiny object correctly for it to work. If you don't, it's just another distraction keeping you from moving to where you need to be. The key to items that will help you grow is timing. Is it the right time to implement this new tool, start a new modality, open another location, bring in an oral surgeon, etc.? The timing must be right, or it will be a disaster from the get-go. The main software you need. With so much technology, you must be selective about what you implement in your office. The goal should be to have as little software as possible. Most people have double the number of systems and a lot of overlap. Simplify your life and cut it down to a maximum of 4 software platforms: a customer relationship management CRM system, a patient engagement tool, a practice management system PMS, and a financial reporting tool. Let's learn a little bit about what they are. 1. A CRM system like Practice Beacon, PB, helps you automate follow-ups, convert more leads, and see how much money you make from your digital advertisements. PB has features that will automate and optimize your lead management to make tracking effortless. Refer to Chapter 8 in Front Desk Secrets to learn more about PB. You'll see how offices that implement it in the way we train them to generate massive ROIs on their marketing dollars. 2. A patient engagement tool like Rhinogram helps you interact and engage with patients. It can allow you to communicate with patients, schedule appointments, automate appointment reminders, collect patient info, and provide patients with virtual visits to save everyone time. 3. A practice management system like Cloud9 assists orthodontists in managing their day-to-day operations. The software typically includes features such as appointment scheduling, patient records management, billing, and treatment planning. With this software, orthodontists can streamline their workflow, reduce paperwork, and improve the accuracy of their records. Additionally, the software allows practitioners to easily track patient progress and communicate with patients via a secure messaging system. 4. A financial reporting tool like Gauge provides easy-to-use practice metrics and business insights that efficiently report the health and progress of your practice and allow you to monitor your goals closely. To learn more about Gauge, refer to Chapter 6 in The Scalable Practice. When these 4 software systems are leveraged in your practice, they will improve communications, ensure consistency, maintain continuity, and keep people from falling through the cracks. When your team is properly trained in their use, they will look like superstars because the system's features will prompt them and free up their time to focus their attention on customer service. But these softwares are only as good as the team using them. And if they aren't being used to their full potential, they too could fall into the category of shiny object. Managing your shiny objective syndrome. Often, all it takes is awareness of the problem and proper focus on the tried and true methods for growing a practice to keep shiny object syndrome at bay. However, if you are attracted to novelty, it's normal. We all are in some shape or form. Being mindful about what you spend your money on and keeping an eye on the bottom line is important because that money can be reinvested into processes that are generating real returns for you. But if you keep finding yourself hooked by ads or flashy displays and salespeople at conferences, then you may want to give yourself some support to stay focused on the goal. Create some affirmations in your morning formula that keep you focused on the process of growing your business. As you read or listen to it every morning, it will remind you that you are not looking for an easy way out and that you trust the good processes you are putting in place. If you start seeing gaps in your systems that need to be filled, you will be more likely to do it in a smart, sustainable way rather than acting on impulse. Your affirmations could be something like, "I know that success in practice is a process. I hire and I trust the experts who have produced the results I want. I am committed to training my team in operations, proven to produce results. I get expert advice on the timing and implementation of processes and systems for growing my practice. With all of this in mind, buying things you believe will benefit your life and practice is okay. Just make sure you do your research beforehand and refrain from impulse buying. If a product has caught your attention, look for proof of its successful application in the office of someone you know and respect. Find out how they are using it in their operations. More than likely, their staff is trained in a process they have developed and consistently apply, using that product to facilitate their results. A hammer in the tool shed will not build a house. If you still fall prey to your shiny object syndrome, find an accountability partner to help you stay focused and on track. Whether that's your spouse, COO, or another orthodontist, make sure they are aware of your goals and ensure they hold you accountable to them, just as Margot did with Dr. Smith. If your mind still keeps wandering, ask yourself these questions. 1. Will this add value to the patient experience? 2. Is this going to save time or money when implemented? 3. Will buying this create more work for my team? 4. Is the effort necessary to implement its use worth the benefit? 5. Am I prepared to follow through on the plan for its implementation? 6. Will buying this be part of my growth and evolution? 7. How will I know I have extracted the maximum value from this shiny object? If you still feel it is a good idea to move ahead with the purchase after answering these questions, bring your answers to your accountability partner for approval. Otherwise, would your money and efforts be better spent focusing on the good that already exists in your practice? The next chapter is about stewardship, the responsibility that has been entrusted to you to nurture, care for, and grow what you have. In the spirit of good stewardship, the final question to add to the list above is, am I making the best investment for all involved in my practice?
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more about HIP or any of the topics in this episode, send an email to hello@hipcreativeinc.com. That's hello@hipcreativeinc.com, or jump over to our website at hip.agency.